Well, it's morning. I think I'm going to take a little longer out. I left a little early. I have a little more time. In doing all this stuff about school, I've got some students in my class that are struggling, and I put a term to it called not college grade. You know, I'm teaching a junior level. It's an upper division class, and I have certain expectations about upper level division classes. They're going to be a little more strident. They're going to ask more of you. You're expected to display the kind of work that is commensurate without having already spent 2 years in college. The sad reality of it is that two years of college sometimes isn't an indicator of anything. That's depressing and sad, but I'm not going to, I'm not going to water things down to make it work. If you can't get yourself into a college frame in the first year of school, in your freshman year, I don't have much respect for that, which brings up the whole thing of not being college grade. If you really shouldn't be here, it's like you should really spend your time, effort, and either the public's or your own parents' money pursuing something in which you have a reasonable chance of success. Since society is getting involved in this, society has a right to say things about how its money is spent. And I find myself in the unenviable situation of saying, meet the criteria. If you don't have what it takes, you can drop the class. But however, if you're a junior, I would expect all your class to behave this way. If you can find easy upper division classes, good for you. You're going to skate. And people might say, well, that's unfair. You really... college was desperately easy for you to go. I readily admit that it was. Says, my master's degree was simply putting forth the required effort and doing what was required to get the master's degree. Did I learn a lot from it? Probably not. Especially given the way that I approached it. I approached it as a certification of my standing. Many people have said that I talk and work like a person far beyond my education. My educational achievement needed to match my needed to come up with parity. How about that? So we did that. That is not to blow horns. Everybody thinks that having a college degree is the ultimate show of whether you're a competent person or not. And it's not. It's not even close. Many, 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 many incompetent people have degrees. Sorry. Now, surely you have to show some kind of aptitude in order to get these degrees in the first place. You know, but there's all kinds of tricks you can apply to it. Can you get all the way through college on tricks? I think you can. If you have the innate ability to see things and to act on things and to see how things are being graded, you can skate college. I venture to say you might be a little hard-pressed to skate your way on intellect alone through a PhD. I think that dissertation, honestly, if you have some thousands of dollars that you can throw at it, the fact that you have to pay nearly $60,000 to get through a PhD program in the first place indicates that you probably would have no problem shoving probably $30,000 or $40,000 toward some paper mill who's perfectly willing to write that paper for you. And I'm not saying that's how it's... that is one way to get your PhD. Of course, you have to do an oral defense. You can't just get the paper written and turn it in and bam, you got a PhD. They do other things to try to prevent that from happening. Knowing how people are, and the sad part is there's a huge chunk of the schooling universe that is dedicated to basically supposing that you're lying, stealing, and cheating about the whole thing, all the way up to the very top. And that's one of the things that kind of dissuades me from really getting into it any more than I already have, is that philosophy really bothers me. Is it honest? Absolutely. Do you have to do it? I think you do. But that doesn't mean I have to be a party to it. You know, chances are your most successful students in any given class are ones that already kind of know the material from experience or from some other standpoint. The one student so far that's given me some praise, I'm starting to wonder if she was just doing that to try to snow me over. She's getting a little too interested in her term paper subject. I hate to tell her that. If you want to choose the topic of your term paper, sometimes this is done because you've already purchased the term paper to turn in, and when I say, oh, sorry, somebody else already has that topic. This last email I got from them was really kind of trying to put the screws on me to let her have this topic. It really means a lot to me. You know, it has to do with my parents or something like that, and you're going, I'm starting to smell a scam. I was going to bring this up, so I said, no point. Don't have to. Topic's already taken. I already told her the topic's already taken. I'm just going to reiterate to her, topic's already taken. Please choose another one. the fact that it's supposed to be one of your interests is only to help it, help the paper to hopefully do better because you're personally interested in it. That is the only purpose for getting involved in this stuff. Otherwise, the reason why we choose separate topics, as far as I'm aware of, is to slow down the ability to just pass around a term paper and let a whole bunch of people use it. So I was talking about the whole college grade thing, and when I talked about it, I said, well, you know, Lisa, here's an example. You know, you're struggling with college. You struggled a lot with her interior design class, the associate's degree, when you were young and fresh and on the ball. Says you're 30 years older, you've been mentioning that you feel like you've atrophied, intellectually at least. And, you know, if you don't feel like college grade, I'm not, you know, just, you can decide not to do it. And she jumped all over me because I had made those kinds of statements like that with my usual, you know, I don't mean to be rude in front of it. But I know it's coming. I know people will take this thing as a personal affront. And she did. And then she got mad. Well, you know, you practice that stuff with this. I said, yes, because I know how you tend to react. You take it personally. And you think I'm attacking you. That's why I say that. Which is the exact reason why I say it. It's because I need to say that when I'm saying stuff. I said I didn't used to say it because I used to not say anything to you. I didn't used to share what I was up to. He says, you got upset about that. So I started sharing more. And now you're upset. Because I'm sorry, like anybody else, you don't walk on water, neither do I. But I'm now saying things that aren't totally complimentary of everybody in the whole world. You know, I said, I'm sorry. We can't make progress if everybody just figures out the basic blue-collar, working-class ethic of, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. And you go, that's good advice if your whole purpose in life is to remain employed. And you go, not bad at all, except that if there are real problems and they really need to be addressed, a person that's following that particular axiom is not going to be the solution to the problem. They're going to be that horrible, horrible term, the enabler. And you go, yeah, you can't win against those kinds of snarky terms. I'm sorry. I'm not going there. You have to live. Not everybody can be the big agitator. It's easy when you have no people around you who care about your opinion. You know? But if they do, it bothers them. So Lisa was expressing the fact that she was bothered by it. And I felt, you know, I'm sorry. I have no intention of making her feel bad. or of making the ultimate determination that she's not college grade. That's not my job. I'm not going to do that. There are other people to do that. And she goes, "You're not being supportive." I said, "Excuse me?" I said, "I give you my education benefit. I could have used it. I could have gone and done it. I can go take some classes. That would be fun. So I'm letting you use it because I think that's a good idea. Adjust schedules to make sure that things are getting taken care of and that she has the time to work on this stuff. It's like, well, I brought up yet again to the side, Lisa, you're throwing me under the bus. You're making me the bad guy because this, maybe I've set up a bad feedback loop here that you'll never hear one bad thing out of me." And you go, "Well," I said, "I'm going to talk about bad things, and if you think that sideways I'm saying it to you, that's your business. I'm just saying, because I was saying, hey," and I brought up an incident from my school days. A lot of people at school killed themselves in a very nice, generous way. Helping this one woman, she had a few kids, married, poorer than church mice. Just not college grade. And they, do I need to be honest? They basically did all of the hard work for her. They helped her, they helped her, they helped her, they helped her, they helped her. And very kind instructors, I don't mean to be rude, probably gave her a pass too. Because she just flat wasn't college grade at all. Well, she got her bachelor's degree, and she went, and she tried to get a job that everybody else with our credential got. I had the job being a WIC nutritionist. She went and got hired to do that job, and she didn't last very long. Which is kind of interesting because usually a job working for the state of New Mexico, they don't fire people. I mean, there are creative ways of making sure that you want to leave if you're not wanted. And that's one of the ways, is making you feel like you're not wanted. Anyway. She ended up, you know, I can only imagine how she felt. I never had a conversation with her. I just heard rumors from other people. She didn't last very long. And you're going, you know what? Everybody set her up. Everybody set her up. I'm sure the first thing they told her was that you can do anything you set your mind to, which is a lie. There are some people who have a lot of capacity, and that isn't something bad to say to them. Because hopefully they'll choose something for which they have some competence, and then, yeah, all the effort they put into it is a rewardable thing. The problem is, if you're in way over your head, and nobody says, "Excuse me, hey, you're in way over your head. You really shouldn't be here." Which is the ultimate slur, right? But it's actually the ultimate nice thing to say. I had it said to me about running daycare centers. My old instructor, she was very straightforward, and I have a lot of respect for her. But it would have been very easy for me to be very angry at her. And I might have been a little bitter at the time. We often are. because we don't like being told that we have no business doing what we've spent all this time trying to accomplish. And she said, it's not good for you. When she found out I was going into other aspects of public health besides running daycare centers, she praised me up and down and thought that was a wonderful thing. And, you know, she was being honest. That's a hard commodity to pass around. I don't do it very often. Because let me tell you, in my life with Lisa, and I'm not saying that Lisa is bad this way. I think she's very normal, very typical. At the very least, you have to be prepared. And that's what saying, I don't want to be rude, but is trying to do. It's trying to float a little flag that says, I may say something that you may take badly. Especially take it personally. So, and she takes great offense at that. And you go, you don't want me to do the warning flash? Okay, I'm laying to you both barrels. You know. But I have not evaluated you. I haven't looked at you. I don't think either one of us want to go there. The wrong thing to do. You should avoid classes from your husband or your child or your parent, if at all possible. You should go to other sections to avoid this. Because it gets a little too personal. And I don't think we can really stand much of that. We need people who are at a little bit of a distance. People that are basically a role on some level to us. You know, teacher, student, friend and neighbor. You know, all the marketing people say, oh no, you need to be really chummy with your students. And you go, if I'm chummy with my students, I can't tell them what they need to know if there's something wrong. So that's okay. I'm glad to say that many colleges, like this one here, Eastern, have a mechanism for making that happen. You can recommend somebody for counseling, and that goes to their advisor, and their advisor brings it up. He says, you know, got to be an advisor. He says, I got to be straightforward with you. You're going to have to do what it takes. You're not going to have other it's a rare person who can take this kind of I don't know what to call it. Inventory. How about that? That's a good word. Inventory. You can take this kind of inventory from a person that they're obligated to love or respect or care about. It's, I've seen people that can do it, but it's tricky. You know, they have to say, oh, my dad had to throw a couple of rolls and had to recuse himself from a lot of things. And in that recusing sometimes, you might not get what they need to hear. It's hard, especially for women. I don't mean to be rude, but it's the way it is. Especially hard for girls who are mothers. Very protective of their kids. One should never expect them to do anything but that. A father's role is to be kind of that interface to reality and to the real world, telling you what you've got to do. Where the mother would say, oh, be nice, please. I feel so bad when you yell at people. And you go, uh-huh. And you go, but if they need yelling, they need yelling. Sorry. Not to be dictatorial, not to control people's lives. But to say, this is what's got to be done, this is what's got to be done next. Not to take away choices. But to say, once you make a choice, man, do it. So, anyway, rough, tricky stuff. I don't know how Lisa feels about me right now. I don't know if I just shut her up or what. She's also a person that likes, you know, I'll be honest, I talk too much. And, they say I go over and over and over the same thing. I disagree, but, you know, I don't get what I want. All the time. Oh, man. Talk to you later.